Welcome to Heavy Hops. My name's Alexi.
My name's Sam.
Joining us today is Johnny Boucher of Hope for the Day. That's got a really great ring to it.
I fucking love that. Boucher from Hope for the Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk with Johnny a little bit about what Hope for the Day is, what they do, why they are so important for the mental health community, not only in Chicago, but all over the world as well.
And Johnny also opens the lid on this exciting new coffee, relatively new coffee roasting venture that's a part of Sip for the Sip of Hope, which if you're in Chicago is a coffee shop that you can visit that now roasts its own coffee.
Without further ado, let's dive and get heavy.
Everybody doing all right?
Yeah, Johnny. Thanks for joining us. Let's set the stage a little bit for our audience members, for our listeners that don't know who you are or may not be familiar about Hope for the Day. Can you just kind of introduce yourself and introduce Hope for the Day?
Yeah. So I'm Johnny Boucher, founder and CEO of Hope for the Day. Hope for the Day is a Chicago-based nonprofit movement that empowers the conversation on proactive suicide prevention and mental health education, not only here in Chicago or the state of Illinois or just in America, but around the world. And it's because we believe in the ability of creating platforms to meet people where they're at and not where we expect them to be. So we can, really be able to break down silence and stigma for them. And present the opportunity to talk about mental health before it adversely impacts their life or their community. And then we just believe that the more we talk about mental health, the more we realize that we're not alone, and starts by just really grasping around our slogan, it's okay not to be okay. And, we really believe that we can empower people to step up and have a seat at the table so we can, as the mental health community, can build better platforms and solutions for community members. So we have not only services for all, but we have systems that can be sustainable for our communities to be stronger.
Mm-hmm. And as Alexi and I are both Chicago service industry veterans, you work really closely with the service industry and even the music community too. Can you kind of explain why there's a lot of focus for you in those two worlds?
Yeah, absolutely. My background was in the music industry before I started Hope for the Day. I was a concert promoter, started booking punk rock shows when I was 13. And my whole, life has been around building community. And when I was, going through high school, punk rock and hardcore was my community. I felt like I found out more there than I found in my school. And I invited so many to be a part of that community who felt kind of like me, who wanted to see really what was going on in the world. And I was working for a guy by the name of Mike when I went into college. And Mike unfortunately took his life in 2010. And he was the catalyst to, why I started Hope for the Day. He was number 9 on a list of 16 people that I personally lost to suicide. So I was kind of shook because Mike was your average successful, person that you saw it on the street every single day that you never knew he had a problem because he never talked about it. And the thing about Hope for the Day and why we look to empower these conversations is because everybody I've lost never wanted to talk about it. We traditionally only talk about it after somebody dies or tries, right? So our ability and our mentality to create platforms to meet people where they're at, we look at, communities, industries, and say, how do we make these industries and communities stronger? And we have a huge dedication to the food and beverage industry, as much as we do to the music industry, as much as we do to the health and wellness industry, to the Latinx community, everybody. We care about everyone, right? But when it comes to food and beverage, we look at it as one of the many ways that we can also work with these restaurants, these amazing restaurants, these amazing breweries, these amazing entities that really build our communities to be the backbone when it needs to talk about, you know, things like mental health, especially inside those business walls that we know that need it, because the people who are making the magic happen need to have a place to talk about these things, but also at the same time, utilizing, you know, amazing food and culinary opportunities to educate people about mental health is so much more on the horizon too, because again, we've lost key individuals from the community that sadly, when tragedy struck, you know, it was accepted, but we had to move on. We never got to heal from it. And so with our program, 86 The Silence, you know, we worked with the food and beverage industry by empowering individuals from that industry to not only be the ones to help educate from Hope for the Day's angle into the industry, but also to help create that change that we need to see inside that industry when it comes to talking about mental health, because we know that mental health is probably the last thing we've seen be thought about when it comes to running a successful restaurant, right? In the past, we can build it where it is just as present as the ingredients and everything that goes into the meals, as long as we build that from a cultural standpoint. We just haven't had that opportunity really at all in society up until recent to embrace these conversations. So now, you know, the goal is not to just embrace them, it's to understand them and then build better pathways for these communities. And so with Hope for the Day, we have our peer-led and clinically backed education that then we engineer to be very on brand and community driven. So it's felt and heard. It's not, you're not hearing from a doctor, you're hearing from a chef, you're hearing from a brewer, you're hearing from a barista, you're hearing from some sort of influential but community member in your community as being the educator. And for example, we also do this in the military with a program called Project Red Team, where we have veterans and other military representatives being the educators and being the representatives in to really drive that change, right? Because I can't speak for everybody. I can speak from my own experience, and it's really important to understand that too, because I don't ever want to say I understand how it feels to navigate the world as a female, a member of the LGBTQ community. Anybody else's shoes that are not mine, I can't speak for, but I can build tables and chairs and pull them up and say, let's learn together and let's go educate together. Mm-hmm. And it's just so important, because historically in the food and beverage industry, we've lost, you know, Anthony Bourdain, Chef right. Omar Cantu. In Chicago alone, we've lost so many people, and we just keep going on, and it can't just be that. We need to make that change, because when we look down the line, whether you're the chef or you're the host or the hostess, everybody is a human being. Everybody's got a brain. Everybody has good days and bad days. And when you take the hierarchy out, you got human fucking beings right there. Right. And it's important that we talk to each other like human beings, not yes, chef, no chef. It's, you know, hey, friend, you know, how are you? It's having those conversations. So it's important that we just build these tools, but we also make it exciting. And that's why, you know, we also, within that world, we work with the alcohol community, which is really kind of a taboo thing when it comes to mental health. But it's also because my uncle John, he drank himself to death. And do I blame Delmore Scotch, or do I blame him when I understand that he had a problem? No one wanted to talk to him about it, and no one could talk to him about it. So if I can, you know, play devil's advocate, I'd rather work with the industry, because people are going to drink, right? So right. If you're going to meet them where they're at, put a fucking can of beer or a bottle of beer or a bottle of booze in front of them with these resources, just like we approach gambling. Right? Like right. You see all the signs when you walk in there, they still take your money, but it's just making sure that we have it there, and having the conversation there allows for these communities to then start thinking about, well, what are the better practices can we bring in internally and externally? Because we have a responsibility to do so.
How do these industries like liquor suppliers, breweries, anyone that you kind of partner up with or identify as like a potential partner, how would you say like your interactions with them and their receptiveness from your first partners to like the partners that you work with now, how has their response to what you do and maybe their mentality about what you do changed over time?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we look over the years, because we're going into our 10 year in 2021 as an organization, and we started working with alcohol roughly in 2014. And it was one of those things that it, we had to be very cautious on, you know, working with, and also that industry had to be very cautious with us too. Just because think about that, that's 6 years ago, no one was really talking about mental health. And so whenever we approached the conversation, then we were very hesitant, where we know that from leaning into that process, you know, with like some local friends here in Chicago, like Pipeworks, for example, we're one of the first breweries, you know, people are like, wow, that's a little edgy. And you're like, oh yeah, but it makes sense. Right. To now that one spark has opened so many doors for us around the country, to where we're working with so many different breweries and diverse breweries and providers. It's because that spark, that ripple effect. So now we know how to better manage these partnerships and leverage them so we can make them really, really impactful. And what's cool is that, you know, traditionally when you see charity working with, you know, like if, like, say it's like, you know, a pint night where a dollar per beer is going to this charity, right? Like that's how we traditionally see it, where we've reversed the model where raising money is not the primary. It's the action that we do with the brewery is the focus. And so we're able to leverage like can design and putting resources and putting how to talk about mental health on these cans, which no one's ever done before. And then making it really, really conducive to the environment and where the beer is going to be sold or the product is going to be sold, whether it's kind of like a smaller brewery that has just like this little radius to national breweries that we're working with. It's just about leveraging those things, but it's all because at one point in time, we chose to start working with an industry that the mental health, community really overlooked and only had present when you were at their gala and they wanted to get you drunk to raise more money. but at the same time, we have that responsibility to make sure that we work with the non-alcoholic side too of things. And so when we go in and we work with any entity, we talk about the hardships about being in an industry that is driven by you know, alcohol and just, you know, vice-driven industries, right? We do the same thing with just talking about, you know, being in the food industry. If you're a chef or you're working in the kitchen, like you might be consuming a lot because of your job, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. How do you just build that balance, you know, and what's on the other side of that to make sure that, you know, you can remain healthy, however you need to be. So when it's talking to people in the beer industry or the alcohol industry or the entertainment industry too, there's a lot of talk about the need of just, you know, taking a step back, and that's amazing to do so, but it's something that is really important to lean in on and be wholesome about. And when we work with these companies and we provide the education, we get to be the elephant in the room for them and spark that conversation really, which is something that, you know, years ago we wouldn't have been able to do just because of things like stigma and just the lack of conversation around mental health in society in general. But now that we're there, we at Hope for the Day understand how to kind of find these like stepping stones to create conversations within these communities by simply, again, inviting them to the table and understanding some of the common struggles that they may be experiencing, just so we can progress, be honest, be like, all right, so we know these things are stigmatizing or holding people back or impacting people within this community. What else? Let's dive in, you know, so we can learn more, because there's so many people need to just be reminded that they're a work in progress, and that if they, you know, they fall down, that they can ask for help to get back up.
Yeah. I think, you know, that is the most integral thing when we discuss mental health, is that pulling up that chair, being an ear, like giving space for people to actually talk. And especially in restaurant industry, there's just not really room for that traditionally. But like when I was a manager, I always wanted to make sure, you know, before anything got done, it's, you know, how are you? Like, let's just like take 5, 10, 15 minutes. Let's just talk, you know,
right?
Before we even think about doing anything at work. Right. And, you know, through that, you get to know, everyone on a more human level. And then everyone, you know, a manager should never be looked at as like, oh, they're my boss, they tell me what to do, they're like all this. It's like, they're sure, they have to make sure everything in that facility or that restaurant runs smoothly. That is their job, right? But
right,
their job isn't to belittle you. And if, like, a lot of people view their managers in a way where there is this hierarchy. And mm-hmm. you know, I think, you know, kind of dismantling that notion that that's what a manager is there for is integral for the restaurant industry to continue that progress moving forward. And a lot of that comes down to ownership too, you know?
Right. Absolutely. It does. And where the core values are. And what's been amazing is to have the ability to launch 86 to Silence, you know, with some amazing folks in the Chicagoland area in the culinary world, to not only understand from our side of things, a lot of the complications that the restaurant industry, you know, faces, as well as, you know, the alcohol industry faces, but to build solutions and partnerships that we know that over time will help bring better practice. But again, it comes down to the leadership. So it's calling upon others that are leaders in these industries. And that's why we work with, you know, organizations like the Illinois Restaurant Association, Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, just because we want to have it be a top-down mentality. So then, you know, if there's these associations that empower these leaders to be successful, we have to give them the tools other than, you know, just where to, you know, find better distributors or this, that, the other to become more successful. Like, the success that they never will ever see on a P&L is the human impact. But if you mm-hmm. create a culture that is conducive to creating human success, then you're going to see that on a P&L, because your restaurant's going to perform better. Your people are going to perform better. And over time, that trickles down everywhere. But if mm-hmm. if not, you know, as we've seen, it can become very, very toxic very quick, and people can become very hurt and carry pain and trauma for a while, and it can escalate where it can impact them. But also, as we've seen, you know, people now are speaking up about their experiences and shedding light on these some of these really unfortunate experiences they have in the food and beverage world. So it's an opportunity for us to learn from those people, to build, not case by case examples, but more, how do we attack the core of the subject matter of some of these issues from a humane standpoint when it comes down to it, because it impacts our mental health when there's poor practice within inside your restaurant, your brewery, your workplace, your fucking, you know, organization, your religious organization, wherever you are. If there's bad practice and it impacts the people that you're looking to help carry out whatever you're doing, like, over time, it's going to break down the entire system that you're trying to build. And that sucks, because that means that you're hurting people who are there to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, to kind of flip the discussion a little bit from restaurants, this is a very unique year for everyone, and the fact that we're in a pandemic, and now we're leading into the holiday seasons, and a lot of people are not going to be able to see their families or their friends like they normally would.
Right.
How do people cope with this in this very, like, weird time?
You know, it's a rounded question, but what we have seen and what we've been really been able to see is the fact that a lot of people have had this time away from family, away from their jobs, and away from the everyday ebb and flow to see kind of how they are, you know, existing and what's working for them and maybe what hasn't been working for them. And they just haven't had the time to really, you know, hit that on the head, you know? And I think the thing about how to get through with this is just, you know, stacking it up day by day and seeing how, you know, how you make the most of your day, right? You know, how are you getting the most out of it? You know, people joke about, you know, oh, because of COVID, I gained all this weight. Well, I flipped it on the other side of the head. I've lost more weight than I have in 15 years because of COVID, you know, because I've been like, oh, I wanted to get healthier this year. Well, fuck, this is a great opportunity to really focus in on it, you know, and utilize these days. We've seen a lot of people look to how to, you know, maybe pivot to a different industry or a different craft or a different trade. And that might be because for the first time in a while, you've been able to maybe empower a hobby of yours that you've neglected because you've been working your ass off for somebody else. So I think it's just finding, you know, what is working for you, but also we've seen a massive uptick in our, you know, our mental health education sessions. And it's because people are trying to learn how to be better for themselves, be better for the community, and know that there's tools out there. And we've seen services, you know, skyrocket. Telehealth is being used more than ever. And so whether, you know, it's an industry thing or if it's a personal thing or a professional thing, like we've seen people utilize this time so well for themselves. But we also understand there's a lot of people that are struggling, and that is still, you know, very much the same approach each day, just trying to figure out what are a couple things that you need to do to get through the day and you know, be healthy as well as you can. And if that's checking in and getting therapy or you know, even reaching out to one of the hotlines that are available because you're struggling, like, that's a good use of your time instead of just sitting there and just thinking that this is what you deserve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's nobody's journey is easy, but there are so many opportunities out there. And so it's just about taking the time that we have and looking for that silver lining and going, well, what's the other side of all this that I'm supposed to be paying attention to? You know, and it's not easy, but we've seen so many people become resilient, and it's by controlling what they can and confronting what they can't.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I've seen a lot of people thrive in this time because we come from the service industry and we worked insane hours, you know, and then when March hit, everyone was home. And I think you found a lot of people, hey, that first week, so many people just didn't do anything. They didn't do shit, which they needed, you know, after every week, you only get one day off. Maybe, you know, you get burnt out. But then I saw people starting to flourish the week after that and, you know, pursuing endeavors that they otherwise didn't have time for, you know? I guess, you know, that, like, as much as there is that, there is the flip side of the coin, and a lot of people turn to their friends and family. And, you know, I do worry about some of my friends who won't be able to see their family, and you know, they depend heavily on being able to see their family in person or see their friends in person. And it's just a very interesting time because, you know, there's that risk. If you do see them, you could be sick, they could be sick. And, you know, how do you navigate that?
Right. You know, and because we've been in it for so long, you know, we've kind of dropped some of those really important practices to, you know, remain safe because we lean into that, you know, like, well, you know, I want to see, you know, everybody wants to see their family, you know, if they can. And it's hard. I know that it's been hard for, you know, my mom in particular, you know, my mom loves seeing her kids. and she's almost 70, and she's like, I just want to hang out with my kids. And they're like, well, we want to be protective of you, because, you know, my partner, she is a healthcare worker, my brother and his partner, they live in Michigan. So just, there's so many variables that we have to tackle, you know? So we talk a lot about this at the organization, about just how do you build a good dynamic for your family? And obviously, you know, everybody dove into having Zoom parties and Netflix parties and stuff, but all that fell off real quick, you know,
right?
Because then summer hit and people are like, well, I can hang out in the park, but with my friend, like our friend, wearing a mask, you know, doing our thing. But you know, going into this holiday season, it's going to be very tough. And we know that the holidays are already tough for individuals too, because talk about just, right, there's so many unique memories and feelings and also traumas around the holiday that come up. And it's never easy, but now it's even harder because you're right, you have to stay at home and nobody wants to have Zoom Christmas or a Zoom Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's getting colder, it's going to get darker. You know, there's just, there's a lot of things that we need to be conscious of. So when those days do get a little bit more difficult, then we look around and we're like, oh fuck yeah, I got music, I got these books, I got, you know, art, I got this cooking thing that I've been trying to work on, you know, like, or I have something that's keeping me busy in going through this. And also if it's just, you know, your work life and you're still at home, like, build your environment to be successful. Like we've been at this for, you know, a few months already, you know, and that means that doesn't mean that you should have it figured out. That means that what you should have been able to do is kind of start to lean into, oh, this shit works, you know, for me, and this shit definitely doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And again, it's what you do around you, and it's having those conversations. And I think it's crucial that we do reach out to our friends. We keep an eye out on them, and it's not to be, you know, like a parent to them. It's just, we need people. And especially the food and beverage industry, talk about such high volume interaction with individuals going from that to like nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is. I was talking to a chef the other day and they said, my body has never ached like this before. And I go, why is that? They're like, because I stopped working and now I'm getting back into work and my body just, maybe I needed that time off, but I never realized that my lower back was so fucked, you know? And I was like, oh, geez. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know? And so we're all having to figure out and kind of like set a new baseline for how we approach things. And again, it's about, you know, understanding that you can only control so much. So what's in front of you? Because you need those things on the days that you don't feel like, you know, anyone gives a shit about you or that anyone can, you know, really relate. Where the one thing about COVID is that it has allowed us to all take time and hopefully empower difficult conversations, not just around our own well-being, but what's going on in society and how important just conversation is to have, regardless of the subject matter, because one, it's the currency of connection, and two, that's how we find, you know, solutions through and a lot of problems, right? We got to talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's what are we having for dinner tonight, why isn't the Zoom link working, or you know, how are we going to create the real change that we need to see in society, so, you know, anyone who walks, you know, the streets in Chicago feels safe. You know, there's so many topics that we can go into, but it requires conversation. And so anybody that is ever, you know, in a place where they feel that they are struggling or they don't feel like they have the ability to talk to anybody, like, I just hope that this is an opportunity to remind yourself that you if you lean into it, there are people that are waiting to listen.
Mm-hmm. There's always someone to listen, you know, whether that is a friend, a relative, even like a phone call to like a hotline or something like that. There's resources there, you know? And these times are actually good, I think, for everyone in our society, because it's given us a chance to reflect on ourselves. All this time, literally, it's just given me time to reflect and build up who I am. And, you know, I think people need to lean in on that more and not be afraid of what they're seeing of themselves. And if you don't like what you see, this is the perfect time to build yourself up. You know, if you, if you realize, fuck, like my life was literally going out to bars and like me, like doing that. And that was my social life. And that was my life. That's what I thought, you know, my life was. Well, now you don't have that. And so if you feel empty without that, okay, maybe take that and look at other things you enjoy, like you said, and kind of build on that. And you'll realize too, maybe that wasn't the healthiest of habits. Sure, it's great to socialize, but if you're not happy with yourself first, no amount of socialization is going to make you actually fulfill you, right?
Right. Right.
And so, yeah, I just think this is a really good time and opportunity, like you said, for people to try and have that difficult conversation with yourself first. And then, you know, reach out to friends about it if you're having difficulty with it, or family or whoever.
Right. You know, it's kind of like what we see a lot on the internet. It's like, you know, the difficult guide on how to talk about insert topic, right? You know?
Yeah.
Racism, you know, trans rights. There's so many things, right? There's so many things that you can find those little things for, and it's because we need those little we need these reminders that, you know, there's so many important things going on right now, and if we're being impacted by it, like we need you know, help speaking up and speaking to the subject matter. And so what I find that's one of the most you know, empowering things from this time is the fact that if we look at 2020 and it was called, like a movie title, we'd call it like, no, we're going to talk about it. And that's the beauty of it, but it's what we do with this opportunity. Just like, you know, me realizing that I've lost so many people to suicide in my life and I can do something about it. Like, we've given people platforms to speak up. So I just really hope that we are able to now keep, you know, building sustainable energy to a lot of these issues, because they're all fluid and conducive to how we become stronger in our societies and make us human, as human beings, you know, stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You got anything you want to add, Alexi?
Yeah, I was going to say there's jumping into a different project or a related project that you're involved with, Johnny. Let's talk about Sip of Hope and the what that is for us Chicagoans, and also the exciting addition of roasting your own coffee.
Yeah. Well, you know, we opened up Sip of Hope Community Coffee Bar in 2018 as like our brick and mortar version of, you know, meeting people where they're at. And we've always looked at coffee as a way to start the conversation. And by opening the shop and having it be a hub for community, good coffee, resources, and education opportunities, and just so much, it really opened up our eyes to a lot of opportunity within the community that we could help build, you know, better pathways for. And build more opportunity for many different communities to finally be connected to services that are, you know, really, really thriving and making our community stronger. Cool thing about the coffee shop is that, you know, now it's 2.5 years old, and part of the original business plan was to be able to roast our own coffee and take Hope for the Day's mental health education to the farms and where, you know, we would be getting our coffee. And, you know, this year, you know, the whole year of silver lining, we leaned into that. And it was amazing because for so long, we had a great partnership with Dark Matter Coffee, and we learned so much from them. And we felt that this was just the perfect opportunity to keep showcasing the work that we had set out to do by really utilizing coffee as just the opportunity to start the conversation. Whether it was with the customers at Sip of Hope or through a coffee bag that has resources on it, you know, again, just like we do in the alcohol world, it's just about, you know, meeting people where they're at. So it's amazing that, you know, now we're a month old of roasting our own coffee because we launched it on World Mental Health Day. And just another, you know, great stepping stone of the work that we're doing. But what's amazing about it is that not only are we roasting our coffee and providing the education, we're working on a workforce development program to empower, you know, veterans as well as individuals from specific communities in the Chicagoland area that are very much underserved to provide not only jobs, but, you know, life tools and skills to then be put into a fast track where we can help them get, you know, to long-term employment and get them, you know, living in a sustainable place here in Chicago, which is just really fucking awesome because coffee energizes so many people and is part of so many people's day. And just to have the ability to do so much with it on the other side that is not customer facing is, it's just a beautiful opportunity. And again, the silver lining of 2020 for us is just how do we keep empowering and getting stronger. And also we need coffee to do it. So, you know, we're doing it now, but it's really cool. Cause when you think about bringing mental health education to these communities, you're talking about Mexico, Nicaragua, Papua New Guinea, places where mental health might not even be a subject matter. We're able to work with these farms that we're, you know, ethically and responsibly sourcing our coffee from now and, you know, invest in them more than just the investment of our dollar.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's great. If anybody in the Chicagoland area is looking for resources, you can easily stop by Sip of Hope. It's on 3039 West Fullerton, right across from the Logan Square Chicago Public Library. And we got great resources in there. The coffee is banging and 100% of the proceeds supports, you know, providing free mental health education to as many people as possible. So it's not only a good cup of coffee, but it's a good way to invest your dollar in the community that you care much about.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I think it's going to be in a bunch of beers soon. So
excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Your ability to bring things full circle is always, always very impressive, Johnny. And I think your admirable commitment to education and to mental health awareness is, really, really inspiring. And so, you know, I think you've done a lot, you and your team have done so much for the, hospitality industry in Chicago. And I think that, this is something that's super important. And as we have these, have this time around the holidays to sit and think and wonder, it's important for us to always kind of adjust and think of others and to recognize the good that we have and also to think of others that may not have it as good, and to figure out ways to support them or to find new ways to support yourself in a healthy way.
Yeah, it's, I say the work that we do at Hope Today is the coolest thing that I've done thus far in my life. And I've done a lot, I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of amazing things, but there is nothing cooler than helping others because it does, you know, help fill your cup on the days that you feel empty. But it also, the work that we've done at Hope for the Day is, you know, reminded even myself and our staff that on the days that we're having a rough go at it, you know, that we can ask for that same help. Because if without that knowledge or power, I mean, I would have never been able to ask for help and get my my diagnosis in 2018 of you know PTSD. And without the knowledge of just knowing that there is help out there, I know that me leaning into that process has helped so many people just in my friendship group that needed that one little kick to say, oh shit, like even this guy, you know? It's my pleasure and my honor to be able to, you know, have this be my profession. But at the same time, I look at it as like, how do I get to leave my mark? And my goal is always that the years past my final breath, that Hope for the Day and the work that we do is able to continue and to help people for, you know, as many years as possible. Because then that's the proof in the pudding that we created a sustainable organization that, you know, can stand many different pandemics, many different situations, because our ROI is always investing in people.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think this is a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us today, Johnny.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. And if there's any, you know, any of the resources that are on like Hope for Days Instagram or anything that you guys want to utilize that you need access to, just let me know, however I can help. But, you know, thank you for the time and appreciate you guys allowing me to utilize your platform to help anyone out there who needs it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. And I hope that you guys have a great start to the weekend and are doing the best that you can to take care of yourselves. And anything else that we can do to support, just let us know. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same no, thank you, you so much, Johnny. Yeah, absolutely.